Chapter 21. To Shadalogoth.
"Take us there,"
Coveril said, frowning formidably at the map in Rand's hands.
"It will carry us well out of our way, if I remember where the Two Rivers is correctly. I will not waste another day finding Loyal."
Aerith nodded firmly. Hammond, cheeks still damp with tears, shook his head for their haste, but said,
"I cannot allow it. Arendhol, Shadalogoth, as you rightly name it now, is no place for someone as young as Aerith. In good truth, it is no place for anyone."
Letting the map fall, Rand stood up. He knew Shadalogoth better than he wanted to. "You will lose no time. In fact, you'll gain. I will take you there by traveling, by a gateway. You will be most of the way to the Two Rivers today. We'll not be long. I know you can lead me right to the Waygate." Ogier could sense Waygates, if they were not too far. This necessitated another conference beyond the fountain, one Aerith demanded to be part of. Rand caught only snatches, yet it was plain that Hammond, shaking his great head doggedly, opposed the plan, while Coveril, ears so stiff it seemed she was trying for every inch of height, insisted on it. At first Coveril frowned at Aerith as much as at Hammond. Whatever the relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law among Ogier, she clearly thought the younger woman had no business in this. It did not take her long to change her mind, though. The Ogier women flanked Hammond, hammering at him relentlessly.
"Too dangerous, much too dangerous,"
came like distant thunder from Hammond.
"Almost there today."
A slighter thunder from Coveril.
"He has been outside too long already."
An almost silvery peal from Aerith.
"Haste makes for waste. My Loyal, my Loyal. Mashadar beneath our feet. My Loyal, my Loyal. As an elder, my Loyal, my Loyal."
Hammond came back to Rand, tugging at his coat as though it had been ripped half off, followed by the women. Coveril maintained a smoother face than Aerith, who fought to suppress a smile, but their tufted ears were at the same jaunty angle, somehow conveying satisfaction.
"We have decided," Hammond said stiffly, "to accept your offer. Let this ridiculous gallivanting be done with, so I can return to my classes and to the stump. There is much to be said about you before the stump."
Rand did not care whether Hammond told the stump he was a bully. Ogier held themselves apart from men except for repairing their old stonework, and it was unlikely they would influence any human one way or another about him. "Good," he said. "I will send someone to fetch your belongings from your inn."
"We have everything right here."
Coveril went back around to the other side of the fountain, bent and straightened with two bundles that had been hidden behind the basin. Either would have made a heavy load for a man. She handed one to Aerith and slipped a strap tied to the other over her head so it slanted across her chest, holding the bundle against her back.
"If Loyal were here,"
Aerith explained, donning her bundle,
"we would be ready to start back to Steading Tsofu without delay. If not, we would be ready to go on without delay."
"Actually, it was the beds,"
Hammond confided, holding his hands to indicate a size to fit a human child.
"Once every inn outside had two or three Ogier rooms, but they seem very hard to find now. It is difficult to understand."
He glanced at the marked maps and sighed.
"It was difficult to understand."
Waiting just long enough for Hammond to fetch his own bundle, Rand seized Saidine and opened a gateway right there beside the fountain. A hole in the air that showed a ruined, weed-filled street and collapsing buildings. "Randall Thor!" Suelin almost strolled into the courtyard, just ahead of a cluster of map-laden servants and Guy Shine. Lya and Cassin were with her, pretending to be just as casual.
"You asked for more maps?"
Sulin's glance at the gateway was barely short of accusing.
"I can protect myself better there than you can," Rand told her coldly.
He did not intend it to be cold, but wrapped in the void, he could not make his voice anything but cold and distant.
"There is nothing your spears can fight, and some things they can't." Sulan still wore a good deal of her earlier stiffness. All the more reason for us to be there. That could not possibly make sense to anyone, not Aiel, but... I will not argue it, he said. She would try to follow if he refused. She would summon maidens who would try to leap through, even if he was closing the gateway. I expect you have the rest of today's guard just inside. Whistle them up. But everyone is to stay close to me and touch nothing. Be quick about it. I want this done with. His memories of Shadar Logoth were not pleasant. I sent them away as you insisted, Sulan said disgustedly. Give me a slow count of 100, 10, 50. Rand nodded, and her fingers flashed. Jelani darted away inside, and Sulan's hands flickered again. Three Gai Shine women dropped their armloads of maps, looking startled. Aiel never looked that surprised. Gathered long white robes and vanished back into the palace in different directions. But quickly as they moved, Sulan was ahead of them. As Rand reached 20, Aiel began bounding into the courtyard, hurtling through windows, leaping down from balconies. He almost lost the count. Everyone was veiled, and only some maidens. They stared about in confusion when they found only Rand and three Ogier, blinked at them curiously. Some lowered their veils. The palace servants huddled together. The flow continued even after Sulan returned, unveiled, dead on the count of 50, the courtyard filling with Aiel. Quickly it became clear that she had spread the word the Kaa Karn was in danger, the only way she felt she could gather enough spears in the time allotted. A little sour grumping passed among the men, but most decided it was a fine joke, some chuckling or rattling spears on bucklers. None left, though. They looked at the gateway and settled on their haunches to see what was happening. Ears sharpened with the power, Rand heard a maiden named Nandera, sinewy yet still handsome despite more gray than yellow in her hair, whisper to Sulan, "You spoke to Gai Shine as Fardarai's Mai." Sulan's blue eyes met Nandera's green levelly. "I did. We will deal with it when Randall Thor is safe today." "When he is safe," Nandera agreed. Sulan chose out 20 maidens quickly, some who had been part of the guard that morning and some not. But when Urien began picking red shields, men from other societies insisted they should be included. That city through the gateway looked a place where enemies might be found, and the Kaa Karn must be protected. If the truth be told, no Aiel turned away from a possible fight, and the younger they were, the more likely to try to find one. Another argument almost started when Rand said the men could not number more than the maidens. That would dishonor Fardarai's Mai, since he had given them his honor to carry, and the maidens not more than Sulan had already chosen. He truly was taking them where no battle skills could protect them, and everyone who came with him was one more he would have to watch out for. That he did not explain. No telling whose honor he would step on if he did. "Remember," he said once they were sorted out, "touch nothing, take nothing, not even a sip of water, and stay in sight always. Don't go inside any building for any reason." Ammon and Kovril nodded vigorously, which seemed to impress the Aiel more than Rand's words. So long as they were impressed. They stepped through the gateway, into a city long dead. A city more than dead. A golden sun, more than halfway to its zenith, roasted the ruins of greatness. Here and there a huge intact dome topped a pale marble palace, but more were whole than not, and most often only a curved and broken fragment remained. Long columned walks ran to towers as tall as anything Carrion had ever dreamed of, and to towers ending jaggedly. Everywhere roofs had fallen in, bricks and stone fanned across fractured paving stones from collapsed buildings and walls. Shattered fountains and broken monuments decorated every intersection. Stunted trees, dying in the drought, dotted great hills of rubble. Dead weeds lined cracks in streets and buildings. Nothing moved, not a bird, not a rat, not a breeze. Silence shrouded Shadar Logoth. Shadar Logoth, where the shadow waits. Rand let the gateway vanish. No Aiel unveiled. The Ogier stared around, faces tight and ears laid stiffly back. Rand held on to Sayadin in that fight that Taim said told a man he was alive. Even if he had not been able to channel, maybe especially then, he would have wanted that reminder here. Aradhul had been a great capital in the days of the Trolloc Wars, an ally of Manethrin and the rest of the Ten Nations. When those wars had lasted long enough to dwarf the War of the Hundred Years, when it seemed the Shadow was everywhere victorious, and every victory of the Light did no more than buy time, a man named Mordith became a counselor in Aradhul, and counseled the rule that to win, to survive, Aradhul must be harder than the Shadow, more cruel than the Shadow, less trusting. Slowly they made it so, until in the end, Aradhul became, if not blacker than the Shadow, as black. With war still raging against the Trollocs, Aradhul finally turned in on itself, turned on itself, consumed itself. Something was left behind, something that had kept anyone from ever living here again. Not a pebble of this place but was tainted with the hatred and suspicion that had murdered Aradhul and left Shadarlogoth. Not a pebble but could infect with time. And more than the taint remained, though that was enough to keep any sane man away. Rand turned slowly where he stood, staring up at windows like empty eye sockets, the eyes gouged out. With the sun climbing high, he could feel unseen watchers. When he had been here before, that feeling had not come through this strongly until the sun began to go down. Much more than the taint remained. A Trolloc army had died camping here, vanished, except for messages smeared on walls in blood, begging the Dark One to save them. Night was no time to be in Shadarlogoth.
"This place frightens me," Luz Theron murmured beyond the void. "Does it not frighten you?"
Rand's breath caught. Was the voice actually addressing him?
"Yes, it frightens me. There is darkness here. Blackness blacker than black. If the Dark One chose to live among men, he would choose here."
"Yes, he would."
"I must kill Demondred."
Rand blinked.
"Does Demondred have some connection to Shadarlogoth? To here?" "I remember at last killing Ishamael."
There was a sense of wonder in the voice, at a new discovery.
"He deserved to die. Lanfear deserved to die too, but I am glad I was not the one to kill her."
Was it just happenstance that the voice seemed to speak to him? Was Luz Theron hearing, answering?
"How did you kill Ishamael? Tell me how."
"Death. I want the rest of death. But not here. I do not want to die here."
Rand sighed. Just happenstance. He would not want to die here either. A nearby palace, broken columns along its front, had a distinct lean toward the street. It could fall any time and bury them where they stood. "Lead on," he told Hammond. To the Aiel, he added, "Remember what I said. Touch nothing, take nothing, and stay in sight."
"I did not think it would be so bad,"
Hammond muttered.
"It almost washes away the waygate."
Aerith moaned, and Covril looked as though she would if she were not too dignified. Ogier were sensitive to the mood of a place. Hammond pointed. The sweat on his face had nothing to do with the heat.
"That way."
Broken pavement crunched beneath Rand's boots like bones grinding. Hammond directed them around corners and down streets, past one set of ruins after another, but his direction was sure. The encircling Aiel moved on their toes. Their eyes above the black veils did not look as if they expected attack, but as if the attack had already begun. The unseen watchers and broken buildings brought back memories Rand would as soon have avoided. Here Matt had begun a road that took him to the Horn of Valir, that almost killed him on the way. Maybe the road that had led him to Ruidian and the Turangreal he did not want to talk about. Here Perrin had disappeared when they were all forced to flee in the night, and when Rand finally saw him again, far from here, he had golden eyes and a sad look and secrets that Moraine had never shared with Rand. He had not escaped unscathed himself, though Shadaloggoth had not touched him directly. Padan Fain had followed them all here, himself and Matt and Perrin, Moraine and Lan, Nynaeve and Egwene. Padan Fain, peddler, and frequent visitor to the Two Rivers. Padan Fain, dark friend. More than dark friend now, and worse, so Moraine had said. Fain had followed them all here, but what left was more than Fain, or less. Fain, as much as he was still Fain, wanted Rand dead. He had threatened everyone Rand loved if Rand would not come to him. And Rand had not. Perrin had dealt with that, kept the Two Rivers safe, but light how it hurt. What had Fain been doing with the White Cloaks? Could Pedro Nile be a dark friend? If Aes Sedai could be, then so could the Lord Captain Commander of the Children of the Light.
There it is,
Hammond said, and Rand gave a start. Shadaloggoth was the last place on Earth to lose yourself in thought. Where the Elder stood had been a spacious square once, though a weathered mound of rubble filled one end now. In the middle of the square, where a fountain might have been, was instead an ornate filigree fence of some shiny metal, ogier high and untouched by rust. That enclosed what appeared to be a tall length of stone carved with vines and leaves, so delicately done that you expected to feel the breeze that was riffling them, that you were surprised to realize they were gray, not green. The way gate, though it certainly looked like no kind of gate.
They cut down the grove as soon as the ogier departed for the Stetting,
Hammond muttered angrily, long brows drawn down.
No more than 20 or 30 years, and extended the city.
Rand touched the fence with a flow of air, wondering how to get through, and blinked as the whole thing collapsed into 20 or more pieces, which fell with loud shivering clangs that made the ogier jump. Rand shook his head. Of course. Metal that had survived so long without a spot of rust must be power-wrought, maybe even remnants from the Age of Legends, but the joins that had held them together had long since corroded, awaiting one good shove. Kovrel laid a hand on his shoulder.
I would ask you not to open it. No doubt Loyal told you how. He always did show too much interest in that sort of thing, but the ways are dangerous.
I can lock it, Ammon said, so it cannot be opened again without the Talisman of Growing. A simple matter, simply done.
He did not seem eager, though. He certainly did not move any closer. It might have to be used without time for fetching anything, Rand told him. All the ways might have to be used, whatever the dangers. If he could cleanse them somehow, that was almost as grandiose as his boast to Taim that he would cleanse Saidin. He began weaving Saidin around the way gate, using all 5 powers, even lifting the segments of fence back into place. From the first flow he channeled, the taint seemed to pulse inside him, a slow building vibration. It must have been the evil in Shadaloggoth itself, a resonance of evil to evil. Even in the void he felt dizzy from those reverberations, as though the world swung beneath his feet in time to them. They made him want to vomit up everything he had ever eaten. Still he persevered. He could not send men to stand guard here any more than he could have had them search. What he wove and then inverted was a vicious sort of trap to suit a vicious place. A ward of surpassing nastiness. Humans could cross it unharmed, perhaps even the Forsaken. He could ward against humans or Shadowspawn, not both. And even a male Forsaken could not detect it. Should any sort of Shadowspawn pass through, that was the viciousness. They would not die right away. They might even live to make it beyond the city walls. Long enough for the dead to be far off, not here to frighten the next murderall that came. long enough for a Trolloc army to exit, perhaps, picking up their own deaths as they did. Cruel enough for a Trolloc. Making the thing sickened him as much as the taint on Cydene. Tying off the weave and loosing Cydene brought only some relief. The residue of filth that always seemed to remain behind still throbbed. It almost felt as though the ground were throbbing beneath his boots. His teeth and ears ached. He could not wait to get away from here. Taking a deep breath, he prepared to channel again to open a gateway, and stopped, frowning. Quickly he counted everyone, then did it again, more slowly.
"Somebody's missing. Who?"
The Aiel took only a moment to confer.
"Liar," Sulin said through her veil. "She was right behind me."
There was no mistaking Jelani's voice.
"Maybe she saw something."
He thought that was Desora.
"I told everyone to stay together."
Rage washed across the void, waves breaking to froth on a boulder. One of them missing, here. And they took it with that light-blasted Aiel coolness. A maiden missing, a woman missing, in Shadar Logoth.
"When I find her..."
Inch by inch, he fought down the fury that threatened to engulf the emptiness around him. What he wanted to do to Lyra was shout at her till she fainted, send her to Soralea for the rest of her life. That rage wanted white-hot murder.
"Split up in pairs. Shout. Look everywhere, but don't go inside. Not for any reason. And stay out of shadows. You can die here before you know it. You can all die before any of you know it. If you see her in a building, even if she looks just fine, find me unless she comes out to you." "We can search faster if we each search alone," Urien said, and Sulin nodded agreement.
There were far too many nods.
"Pairs!"
Rand fought the fury down again. The light burn Aiel's stubbornness.
"At least that way you have somebody to watch your back. For once, do what I say when I say it. I've been here. I know a little about this place."
A few minutes later, most spent in argument over how many should stay with Rand, 20 pairs of Aiel scattered. The one remaining was Jelani, Rand thought, though it was hard to tell with the veil. For once, she did not appear to be happy guarding him. The green eyes held a decided touch of sullenness.
"I suppose we could make another pair,"
Hammond said, looking at Kovril. She nodded.
"And Aerith can remain here."
"No,"
Rand and Aerith said almost at the same instant. The older Ogier turned with faces of grave disapproval. Aerith's ears sagged until they looked ready to fall off. Rand grabbed hold of his temper firmly. Once it had seemed that in the void, any anger was off in the far distance somewhere, attached to him by no more than a thread. More and more it threatened to overwhelm him, to overwhelm the void. Which might be disastrous. Aside from that, though,
"I'm sorry. I had no business shouting at you, Elder Hammond, or you, Speaker Kovril."
Was that the right way to say it? Was it even a title of that sort? Nothing in their expressions said either way.
"I would appreciate it if you would all stay with me. Then we can all search together."
"Of course,"
Hammond said.
"I really don't see how I can offer you more protection than you can offer yourself. But it is yours."
Kovril and Aerith both nodded approvingly. Rand had no idea what Hammond was talking about, but it did not seem the time to ask, with the three of them apparently bucked up to protect him. He had no doubt he could safeguard all three as long as they kept close.
"So long as you follow your own rules, Randall Thor."
The green-eyed maiden was indeed Jelani, and sounding heartened that she would not have to stand and wait. Rand hoped he had given the others a better idea of what this place was like. From the beginning, the search was frustrating. They walked up and down the streets, watched by invisible eyes, sometimes climbing over strewn rubble, taking turns calling, "Lia, Lia." Kovril's shouts made leaning walls creak. Hammond's made them groan ominously. Nothing answered. The only other sounds were the shouts of the search parties and mocking echoes along the streets.
Liar, liar.
The sun had climbed nearly overhead when Jelani said, I do not think she would have gone this far, Randall Thor, not unless she was trying to get away from us, and she would not do that.
Rand turned from peering through shadowed columns at the head of the wide stone steps, trying to see into a great chamber beyond. As far as he could make out, there was nothing in there but dust. No footprints. The unseen watchers had faded. They were not gone even now, but almost.
We have to search as much as we can. Maybe she...
He did not know how to finish.
I won't leave her here, Jelani.
The sun swung higher and began to descend, and he was standing atop what had been a palace once, or maybe a whole block of buildings. It was a hill now, weathered enough over the years that only the number of broken bricks and pieces of worked stone sticking out of the dry soil said it had been anything else.
Liar!
He shouted through cupped hands.
Liar!
Randall Thor,
a maiden called from the street below, lowering her veil so he could see it was Sulin. She and another maiden, still veiled, stood with Jelani and the Ogier.
Come down.
He scrambled down in a cloud of dust and a shower of bits of brick and stone, moving so fast that he nearly fell twice.
You found her?
Sulin shook her head.
We should have by now if she is alive. She would have not gone far on her own. If anyone carried her far, they carried her dead, I think. She would not go easily. And if she was injured too badly to answer our shouts, I think that also must mean she is dead.
Hammond sighed sadly. The Ogier women's long eyebrows dropped to their cheekbones. For some reason, their sad, pitying looks were directed at Rand.
Keep looking, he said. May we look inside the buildings? There are many rooms we cannot see from outside.
Rand hesitated, well short of mid-afternoon yet, and he could feel the eyes again. As strong as they had been with the sun setting his first time here. Shadows were not safe in Shadar-Logoth.
No, but we keep looking.
He was not sure how long he went on shouting his way up one street and down the next, but after a time Urien and Sulin stepped in front of him, both unveiled. The sun sat at the treetops to the west, a blood-red ball in a cloudless sky. Shadows stretched long across the ruins.
I will search as long as you wish, Urien said, but calling and looking have done what they can. If we could search the buildings...
No!
It came out a croak, and Rand cleared his throat. Light, but he wanted a drink of water. The invisible watchers filled every window, every opening. Thousands of them, waiting, anticipating. And shadows cloaked the city. Shadows were not safe in Shadar-Logoth, but darkness brought out death. Mashadar rose with sunset.
Sulin, I...
He could not make himself say they had to give up, leave Lya behind, whether she was dead or alive, maybe lying somewhere unconscious, behind a wall or under a heap of bricks that might have tumbled down on her. She could be.
Whatever watches us is waiting for nightfall, I think, Sulin said. I have looked into windows where something was looking back at me, but there was nothing there. Dancing the spears with something we cannot see will not be easy.
Rand realized he wanted her to say again that Lya must be dead, that they could go. Lya could be injured somewhere. It was possible. He touched his coat pocket. The fat little man Angrial was back in Camelin with his sword and the scepter. He was not sure he could protect everyone once night fell. Moraine had thought the whole White Tower could not kill Mashadar, if it could be said to be alive. Hammond cleared his throat.
From what I remember of Arryn Hall,
he said, frowning,
of Shadar-Logoth, that is, when the sun goes down, we will probably all die.
Yes, Rand breathed the word reluctantly. Lya may be alive. All the others? Kovril and Aerith had their heads together a little way off. He caught a murmur of loyal.
Duty is heavier than a mountain, death lighter than a feather.
Luce Theron had to have that from him. Memories passed both ways across that barrier, it seemed, but it cut to the heart.
"We have to go now," he told them. "Whether Lai is alive or dead, we must go."
Urien and Sulin only nodded, but Aerith moved closer and patted him on the shoulder with surprising gentleness for a hand that could have gripped his head.
"If I might trouble you," Ammon said, "we have been rather longer than we expected."
He gestured to the sinking sun.
"If you would do us the favor of carrying us outside the city in the same way you brought us here, I would appreciate it greatly."
Rand remembered the forest outside Shadarlogoth. No Murdrol or Trollocs there this time, but a thick wood, and the light alone knew how far to the nearest village or in what direction. "I will do better than that," he said. "I can take you straight to the Two Rivers as quickly." The two older Ogier nodded gravely.
"The blessing of the light and stillness be on you for your help,"
Kovril murmured. Aerith's ears quivered with anticipation, perhaps equally for seeing Loyal and leaving Shadarlogoth. Rand hesitated a moment. Loyal would probably be in Emmon's field, but he could not take them there. Too much chance news of his visit would slip out of the Two Rivers. Away from the village, then, far enough to avoid the farms that clustered close nearby. The vertical slash of light appeared and widened. The taint pounded inside him again, worse than before. The ground seemed to beat at the soles of his boots. Half a dozen Aiel leaped through, and the three Ogier followed with a haste that was not at all unseemly in the circumstances. Rand paused, looking back over the ruined city. He had promised to let the maidens die for him. As the last of the Aiel went through, Sulin hissed, and he glanced at her, but she was looking at his hand, at the back of his hand, where his fingernails had sliced a gash that oozed blood. Wrapped in the void as he was, the pain might have belonged to someone else. The physical mark did not matter. It would heal. He had made deeper inside, where no one could see. One for each maiden who died. And he never let them heal. "We are done here," he said, and stepped through the gateway into the Two Rivers. The throbbing vanished with the gateway. Frowning, Rand tried to orient himself. Placing a gateway precisely was not easy where you had never been before, but he had picked a field he did know, a weedy meadow a good 2-hour walk south of Emmons Field that no one ever used for anything. In the lurid twilight, he could see sheep, though, a sizable flock, and a boy with a crook in his hands, and a bow on his back, staring at them from 100 paces. Rand did not need the power in him to tell the boy was goggling, as well he might. Dropping the crook, he set off running for a farmhouse that had not been there when Rand was last here. A tile-roofed farmhouse. For a moment, Rand wondered whether he was really in the Two Rivers at all. No, the feel of the place told him he was. The smell of the air shouted home. All those changes Bode and the rest of the girls had told him about, they had not really sunk in. Nothing ever really changed in the Two Rivers. Should he send the girls back here, back home?
"What you should do is stay clear of them."
It was an irritable thought.
"Emmons Field is that way," he said.
"Emmons Field. Perrin. Tem might be there, too, at the Wine Spring Inn with Egwene's parents. That is where Loyal should be. I don't know if you can make it before dark. You might ask at the farmhouse. I'm sure they will give you a place to sleep. Don't tell them about me. Tell no one how you came."
The boy had seen, but a boy's tale might be taken for exaggeration when Ogier appeared.
Adjusting the bundles on their backs, Hammond and Kovril exchanged looks, and she said,
"We will say nothing of how we came. Let people make the stories they wish."
Hammond stroked his beard and cleared his throat.
"You must not kill yourself."
Even in the void, Rand was startled.
"What?"
"The road ahead of you," Hammond rumbled, "is long, dark, and I very much fear bloodstained. I also very much fear that you will take us all down that road. But you must live to reach the end of it.
I will, Rand replied curtly. Fare you well.
He tried to put some warmth into that, some feeling, but he was not sure he succeeded.
Fare you well,
Hammond said, and the women echoed it before all three turned toward the farmhouse. Not even Aerith sounded as if she believed he would, though. A moment longer, Rand stood there. People had appeared outside the house, watching the Ogier approach. But Rand stared north and west, not toward Emmons Field, but toward the farm where he had grown up. When he turned away and opened a gateway to Camelin, it was like tearing his own arm off. The pain was a much more suitable memorial for Lyra than a scratch.